was Lord for passing by. Children cried for bread. Forbid it, Lord, the justice lie. The town is cold and dead. Outside these walls run desperate streets. For greed is law and life is cheap. But the doors refuse to see, hear the words you say.
That is so true. So many people just refuse to hear the words that the Lord says. Let justice roll down like rivers. That's what he says. Justice rolling like a river. A river that is rolling is moving. Action is involved in the rolling of the river. And God says, let justice roll down like a river. Action strongly indicated. I appreciate you for joining me, Carl Thornton Jr., host of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. We're going to be listening to some more of Sojourn as they perform that very critical song, Let Justice Roll. It's so interesting that we have so many people right now who are crying out for justice. So many people of all races who are looking at the injustice that is so endemic across America. Of course, that's true of the world. There's injustice that is just so pervasive all around the world, but specifically looking at America and our time of kneeling during the national anthems, looking at our time of kneeling. So many people who are saying, hey, you know what? We get it now. We've been seeing the newscasts that show black people just being gunned down when they obviously posed no threat to anyone. So many people saying, you know, we see the difference being made when it comes to dealing with drug dealers and drug users and the way it's been handled one way for white America and another way for black America. Truth be told, there's technically only one America, but there are people who are very adept at dividing America by race and by class and keeping America divided by race and by class. Isn't it interesting that for decades, the discussion when it comes to drugs has been about drug abuse, substance abuse, addiction. And when the primary face that people would see was a black face, now that's not to say that the black community uses drugs any more than any other community, but that's the way it was portrayed and has been portrayed on TV for many, many years. And as long as people were equating drug abuse and addiction primarily with black people, substance abuse, addiction, and some of these other terms that have been used over the years were perfectly acceptable. What do you say? Is it okay to use the word or the phrase substance abuse when talking about people who are using illicit drugs for whatever reason? Is it okay to use the term addiction to refer to someone who has become addicted to drugs? Well, you know, we've been hearing for just a few brief years now about the pandemic that is occurring within our country that has really just swept the white community into the drug scene in a huge way. And now all of a sudden, after all these years, the words addiction and substance abuse are becoming unacceptable. They're trying to find sweeter ways to identify, to describe what substance abusers and addicts do with their lives with regards to drugs. They are addicts. If a person is addicted to a drug, they are an addict. If they're using illicit drugs for their pleasure, they are substance abusers. Those aren't bad words. There's nothing, but now that the population that they're focusing on, that some of the people are focusing on, has become a different population, they want to change the wording and make it just as sweet as possible. And they're actually probably making a mountain out of a molehill that the substance abusers themselves had no problems with. Substance abusers know they are substance abusers. Addicts know they are addicts. Alcoholics know they are alcoholics. And if we were okay using those terms for the past 30 or 40 or 50 years, and we considered those terms completely okay, completely acceptable, completely non-insulting. How are those terms all of a sudden so bad now? If they're bad now, then they were bad the last 30, 40, 50 years. And so the effort should have been taking place 40, 50 years ago to come up with sweet terms to describe this problem. Justice. That's all we're talking about, justice. And what I want us to do now is take a look at what God says about justice. I really want us to spend some time in the Word of God. We're going to pull away from our discussion of salvation now, and we're going to focus on kneeling. Since there are so many people in our country who say, you know, we all recognize that there's a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to the ideals and the principles that we claim we live by when we sing the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, when we salute the flag. We know that that flag represents the ideals and the principles that we say we live by. But since we know that we do not live by, America does not live by those principles and those ideals that the flag represents, we're going to protest the hypocritical pledging of allegiance. Because just think about it now. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Ultimately, it is not the piece of cloth that we're pledging our allegiance to. I mean, just think about it. The wildest thing comes up, and over the course of 12 years, all human beings living in America are removed from America, and the country is not repopulated by any other humans. It just remains barren. Nothing here but the other wild, the creatures, whatever buildings we leave in place, the plant life that is here, the waters that are here, all of that stays, but all the humans are gone and will never return. And no one will replace all of the humans who are presently here. All 350 million, just through some miracle, something just unfathomable takes place. And all the people of America are gone. What will that flag mean then? The American flag. What will it mean then? We look at this whole issue, and a lot of people fail to realize that the flag really is just material. It's just cloth with red, white, and blue dye with some stars and stripes for sure. So there's the picture on there. But after all is said and done, that is just cloth. Whether we're talking about however many flags we have in this country, they are all just cloth. Now, the reason that particular cloth, I mean, you think about it now, the clothes you wear is cloth. We can call it pants. We can call it shirt. We can call it dress, skirt, whatever. Socks is cloth. And I can tell you, you may not believe this. You may not believe this, but the cloth we wear actually does more for us than the cloth that so many people salute. And my guess is some of the people who salute the flag really do care about the ideals and principles that are represented by the flag, and they try to live out those ideals and those principles. But we know for a fact that there are many, many, many people, including politicians, who do not try to live out those ideals, and they salute the flag anyway. That's hypocritical. And people are saying, we don't want to participate anymore along with the others who are hypocritically saluting the flag, hypocritically putting our hands over our right heart, over our hearts, and saying, we pledge allegiance, not only to that piece of cloth, and to the republic for which it stands. The flag stands for something. It stands for ideals and principles. But what are the ideals and principles if not actually carried out by the people who say those ideals and principles mean so much to them? Justice. Let's see what God says about it. And let's start in Exodus. I want us to read together some scriptures. And we're not even going to try to read them all. And there are many where God specifically addresses justice. Let's see what he says about it. Beginning again in Exodus 23, beginning at verse 1. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. Verse 6. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death. For I will not acquit the guilty. Justice he's talking about. And pretty soon, I want you to be thinking about something else that is tied in with justice. As we read these scriptures, I want you to see what else is connected to justice from God's perspective. Because one of the many beautiful things about God is he's not hypocritical. He's consistent. What is he connecting to justice? Let's go to Job chapter 37 and start, I guess, at around verse 23. Job 37. And I know a lot of you are pulling this up on your phones. That's cool. Verse 23, the Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress in his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. What are you seeing so far when it comes to the whole issue of this pairing, this connection with justice in a very, very important quality? Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 11. I'm telling you, God has a lot to say about justice. And when I say he has a lot to say about it, I mean he specifically addresses justice many, many times in his word. Psalm 11 and 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. He loves justice. Why don't we love justice more? Well, in fact, why don't we love it, period? Especially Christians. And especially black Christians who have a problem with some of the things that they remember about slavery and whatever few problems they do have with the racism of the past. It's interesting that so many black people are upset with the people who are protesting racial injustice in America. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. A scepter of justice. Scepter, that nice, beautiful item that looks sort of like a fancy cane that kings would often have at their side as they sat on their thrones. That scepter helping to indicate their authority, their power. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. For those of us who love God, who truly love God, we really are becoming more and more like him, right? Aren't we made in his image? We all are. All human beings have some vestige of the image of God in us. Every one of us. Every one of us. All of us have some vestige of the image of God in us. Some have more of the image of God in us than others. Because first and foremost, first of all, the person who is truly born again and has been made a new creature in Christ Jesus is going to have more of the image of Christ in them than a person who has not been born again. But even amongst those within the ranks of those who are born again, there are some who truly strive to please God and to be more like God than others who are also within the ranks of the saved. Those who put forth more effort to be more like Christ have more of his image in us. And since we have the image of God in us, we love God, and since we're trying to become more and more like God, since God loves justice, shouldn't all of his people also love justice? Shouldn't we hate injustice, which according to God is wickedness? So that said, what are you hearing that seems to be just so mightily tied to justice? Let's turn to Psalm 101. And I think we're going to go to verse 1. Yes. This is David's song or psalm, which reads, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will sing of your love and justice. Now we're hearing about it, about justice in such a way that it may be tempting to think that justice, all we need to do is know that it's supposed to be. And it is. Actually, not so. Proverbs 21 and 15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. That might be hard for a lot of you to believe right now, but you got to remember, there's not just this temporary phase of life in which there are going to be many who are going to be paying for their wickedness of whatever kind it is. But there's always the eternal phase of life, which begins with the final judgment. And believing when I say the Lord is keeping up with everything. When justice is done, which implies, indicates action. There's some activity associated with justice. One more in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, and this is something that is so important for us to remember as we think about our leaders in general, and specifically our the leader of our nation, the president, whoever that president is, whatever term it is, whatever presidency it is. This is something for us to keep in mind and not to try to, make light of when our favorite party, when our party has the president in the White House and that president isn't doing a good job when it comes to justice. And then when a member of the other party, when the other party has one of their members in the White House, we can really just come up with 10, 12 pages easily of what that person's doing that is not just. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Verse 4, by justice, and this is the one that I really wanted you to really tie into. By justice, a king gives a country stability. By justice, a king gives a country stability. But one who is greedy for bribes tears it down. Listen to verse 7. Verse 7 is now describing a person who has some qualities that we have heard about. Verse 7, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. The righteous care about justice for the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, are you hearing something that's being paired with justice?